Good morning, everybody. I've had a few verses going through my head. I guess I need to settle on one here. Let's go over to Mark chapter 1. Just going to read a few here. I'm going to start at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Have you repented? Do you believe the gospel? Verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Looks like these guys repented and believed. They did it. Turn over to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that it... I'll start that again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the same, he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do you want the power of God in your life? Looks like we need to believe. Back to that one simple little word that Steve told me a few years back, and he mentioned in a service a couple weeks back that he mentioned it to a few other people, but that's what it comes down to, is believe. Believe what? The gospel. One of the things that holds us back is what we've done in our past, those sins, those things. Stop looking back. What would you think of a builder that kept getting a house half built and then tore it down because he just figured he needed to redo the foundation again? You'd think he was crazy, wouldn't you? You'll see that in the measure that you've allowed yourself to look back, you've missed that which God has for you. When you look back, you're saying that you don't believe. You don't believe that God's able. You think your problems are bigger than he can handle. That's a wrong place. You're really showing that you don't believe the gospel. Right back to the beginning. If that's the place you're in, God has no place for you. The only thing for you to do is repent. Go back to the beginning, right? Repent and believe the gospel. Don't try to cover up anything. If you've been tripped up in the past, confess it. Turn from it. Move forward. Stop looking back. Look to God to bring you through. He can bring you to a place of stability and faith where you're able to stand, and he can make up the difference once you're there. If the enemy can move you from that place, from that place of faith in Jesus, you're going to be on the outside looking in. Period. That's what it comes down to. But I want you to stop looking back. I want you to stop dwelling on the things you've done in the past. That stuff's forgotten. It's forgiven if you've repented and you believe the gospel. Get away from that stuff. On Thursday, Melanie brought up the point that it's been 4 months since we had our minister's convention. Might be time to take stock on where you're at. Have you been looking back? Have you been moving forward? Have you been doing a little bit of both? Now, when I tell you to look back on that time, it's not because I want to condemn you for it. It's because I want you to see where you've tripped up, see where you've fallen short, so that you can refocus and rededicate and turn into it. And get rid of these things that are holding you back. There's something about a baby. I got one. They take all that you give them. And sometimes they want more than you can give at some points. And it's, but that's another story. But really, they take all that you can give them. Most of you let your flesh and your reason, that thing between your ears, stand in the way and stop you from taking that which God is trying to give you. Now the baby takes everything from its mother. It takes everything that the mother gives. Food. Baby can't eat itself. Mother gives it food. Takes it readily. At some point starts taking it so much, looks like the thing's going to try to eat the bottle, right? The baby can't walk, but the mother carries it. Baby can't dress itself, but the mother dresses it. When we live in Christ, God undertakes that which we cannot do. Stop pushing God away and take that which he's trying to give you. Just take it. And once you got it, ask for more of it. Amen?
Good morning, everybody. Well, praise the Lord, another day. You know, as you're up here, Scotty, I mean, one of those things that repentance requires, I mean, really, when you come down to repenting of a thing, is that you absolutely recognize. You recognize that you are wrong. You know, that part where you're reading in John 3 where it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The Pharisees were condemned. Why were they condemned? Were they condemned because of Jesus? No. Were they condemned because of the people around them? No. Were they condemned because of the situation that they were in? No, they were condemned because they preferred their own dark ways rather than the light that was being shined before them and the life that they could receive from. But no, they turned from that. They would have none of it. None of it. That's why they were condemned. It wasn't anybody else's fault but their own. Okay, so, and it's easy to see this Pharisees and go, oh man, look at those Pharisees. What idiots! What idiots those Pharisees are! Man, those self-righteous pricks! Right? Right? It's easy to put. What happens when that light shines in your dark heart? What do you do then? Do you go, I don't want none of it. I don't believe that. That's uncomfortable. That's unhard. I don't like that. That hurts my pride. I'd rather stick to this darkness over here because it's more comfortable. You're no different if you're in that place. The truth. It's the truth. You know, it's hard for me to come up here sometimes. You know why it's hard for me to come up here sometimes? Because this word testifies against me. It does. Of how I am naturally. But the Lord gave me freedom from that natural man into His life, into His liberty, into His love, that I don't have to be snared in it anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, Scott was sitting up there and he's talking about that baby receiving everything it needs, man. Here's the Lord handing out good things to you. But how many of you just reject it and go back to that dark place because of your own stinking pride? Because you think you know better. Because you think you know what's going on. You lean so much on your own understanding. When you have the truth evidently before you to set you free. To set you free. Now, I mean, this opens up a world of scriptures to me. About the chastisement of the Lord is one of them. I mean, we had our parents that say, don't do that, Pop! Don't touch that hot stove, it's gonna burn you. Did they do that because they hated us? No, they did that because they loved us. That's our natural parents. How much more our Father, which is in heaven? When He corrects us, He corrects us for our own good. Don't go that way. That's the way down to hell. You're going to die and you're going to burn. Don't go there. I'm telling you the truth. Turn. Turn from that. Turn loose of that. And it's amazing when that happens, man. At first it's like, oh my gosh, that didn't feel good. When you get that, man, you are one selfish son of a prick. And if you keep walking down that road, you're gonna die and go to hell. That doesn't feel good. But oh my goodness, when you recognize that and you come before the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, you know what? He can take that off of us. And set us free from that. And then we can enter into Him, His body, His kingdom, His covering. That's the place we can enter into. That's how much better of a life He has for us. Are we going to have it? Are we going to have it? See, the Lord's provision's all around you. That grace is right there. The gospel of Jesus Christ is right there for you to receive. right before your face, or you're going to grab hold of it. He can't make you take it. You're going to want to have to want it. You're going to have to want it for you. For you. And for others. If you read, you go to Psalm 82 real quick, because I love reading the Psalms. I think once a week I try to get into with the girls and have them read me a Psalms. Because one, I like to hear them read the Word, and I know it's good for them. It actually multiplies the reading skills quite a bit, and was a suggestion that handed down to me a long ago. And thank you, Davey, and I knew it came from the Lord, and it's been quite helpful. But Psalm 80, no, it ain't 82, it's 86. And then we might go to Psalm 51. I mean, you know, if we read the whole book, it wouldn't hurt us one bit. But I want to read this part, and I'll probably go to Psalm 51 and read another part, because there was a difference between Saul and David. There was a huge difference between the two. Saul always blamed somebody else for his wrong actions. It was always somebody else's fault. First it was, what was it, the people? I think it was Samuel at one point. Ultimately came down and it was God's fault. David did not do that. David recognized his own shortcomings. David recognized his own faults. David recognized that it was nobody else's fault but his own. And you look at Psalm 86. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. For I am poor and needy. That's the point I wanted to highlight. David recognized, and it's interesting what it says above Psalm 86, a prayer of David. For I am poor and needy. He recognized that he needed the Lord. And without the Lord, there was no hope. Without the Lord, he was nothing. Without the Lord, he could not move forward. He recognized he needed him 125,000,000%. And that's where his hope lied. Is that where your hope lies? Do you even recognize that you need the Lord that much? Don't answer me, but do you? I want you to ask yourself that. Get in your closet. Get honest with yourself. Do you recognize that? Or do you think you got it? Or do you think you have it under control? Or do you think you can walk it out in your own way? And I can tell you, a lot of us can sit there and say, oh no, I don't think that one bit. I don't think that one bit at all. I don't know. That ain't me, man. I'm just like David. What do you do? What are you actually doing? Because your mouth can speak one thing, but what you really believe is by what you're walking in. By what you're walking in. Yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but then I'm going to go walk my own way. Because I got it all figured out and I know better. really need to get to that place where David was. And I want to go to Psalm 51. That's backwards. I was going forward. Wrong direction, Phil. It's like a yellow neon sign. Hello, McFly. Says Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Do you see any blame there? Did you see where David said, man, it was that fine looking woman you put down there at the pool, Lord. I just could not resist. You didn't hear him say, oh, it was that faithful servant you gave me that wouldn't come home and I could just cover my iniquity up. No, he recognized who was at wrong, who was at fault. Himself. Himself, nobody else. Wasn't people's fault. Wasn't the Lord's fault. It was his own fault. He recognized. But you know, he knew where to go. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou just judgest. And he knew who he sinned against. That was against the Lord. He sinned against the Lord. You can trespass against your brother, but you sin against the Lord. It's no different than him going up and you going up with the rest of the people and saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. No different. Just talking to he was talking about how, thank you. He was talking about how, and I sat there and said, and I am no different than those folks that said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He goes, oh, don't put me in those categories with those evil people. Really? Well, have you sinned against the Lord? In the way that you walk when you rejected his hand and went about your own way? Well, yeah. Well, then you did. Then you did. And I want to go down a little bit so I don't take up too much time here. But when you go... Yeah, 10 and 11. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Look, I mean, one of the thing was, I don't know if David cared if he died. He just did not want to be separated from the Lord. I mean, that's where he was at, Lord. He's begging the Lord to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him. He knew where his hope was. And he knew where forgiveness was, and it was from one place. And that was the Lord. He knew he had one hope. And that was the Lord. He knew that there was only one person that could wash that away. That was the Lord. When I talk about, when we talk about repentance, it's a serious thing. David knew it. Do you know it? Have you been there? I was there this morning. And I know my only hope is Jesus Christ. My only redemption has been Jesus Christ. And His love and His mercy surrounds me. And I got His ministers all around me. And there is no excuse for me to walk forward in the freedom that He has had for me. And that's not just for me too. It's for every single one of you guys out there and online listening. And if this is recorded and somebody listens to it 20 years ago, the same goes. 20 years before. Thank you. Yeah. Hello, McFly. But let's not be bound up in the crap we've been bound up in anymore. And let's take that hand of freedom and go forward in the liberty and the love and the life that He's given us. Amen. Don't let yourself be robbed of that anymore. And it starts with you. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Perhaps it's time to, taking inventory is a pretty good idea on occasion, time to look at some fundamentals again. You come to the Lord, you believe Jesus, right? You believe Jesus and repent. But I want to know, is the longer we go, it seems that we start doing that same thing that the Galatians were doing. It becomes Jesus and something else. Jesus and the law, Jesus and the works of the law. It's Jesus and, you know, me, since we're such pals, then I can do my own thing and, you know, He'll pat me on the back. It don't work that way. Testimony of the Word. I was sitting here looking at Psalms 37 while the other guys are up here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You want the Lord to give you the desires of your heart? You better find out how to delight in Him. Because that promise is totally null and void unless that is what you're doing. At just like David, he was all in to Jesus. He didn't presume that he had any righteousness of his own. He knew he was toast without the Lord. Okay. So what else does the word say? The word says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You're just flailing in the air. Wasting motion. You just well have stayed in bed. Because you ain't going to get anything done to increase your access to things of the Lord. Partaking in His goodness. Operating in His kingdom. Becoming sons of God. He gave us the power to become sons of God. That's what John chapter 1 says, right? That power is in Jesus Christ. Everybody has faith. Jesus and something else, usually. You need to get as desperate as David was to just be in Jesus. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Well, He is what? Who He says He is. He's true to His word. He's faithful. He's righteous. He's just. And He's perfect in it. His judgments are perfect. His counsel is righteous. His judgments are pure. And the first thing that comes out of my mind is all the time I spent going, but Lord, you don't understand. Or that's not fair. Let me tell you, that's not going to get you anywhere. That's your judgment of God. That's not a good thing. My judgment of God is I need His righteousness. I should be seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. Because that's the only way you get to the other part of that. And all these things will be added unto you. You don't just get that by osmosis. You don't get it because you know somebody that's good at it. You don't get it because you married somebody who knows how to get it. You get it because you figured out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Him who worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You don't have it in you. You need Him to do that. It isn't because you're such a great person that you get the power to become sons of God. You get the power to become sons of God because He has worked it in you. But believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You want to get rewarded from God? You've got to diligently seek Him. If you're not diligently seeking Him, all these great things, have no entitlement to them. This isn't the Social Security Administration. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Once again, I would hate to be standing before Him at the end having the devils shame me. They believe and tremble. When was the last time you trembled? I'm done.